You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 101, You're Outnumbered. This week on the podcast, tech news was a little on the light side, so Michael and I decided to talk about some of the troubling world events that have been happening that are related to the alt-right and Nazism and just stuff that you can't believe is happening in 2017. But nonetheless, here we are. And at the bottom of the podcast, we talked about the controversy related to the Apple Park building, which is supposedly going to be done at the end of this year. A lot of angry people that there are no plans for daycare facilities, at least that we know of. So I think people need to maybe calm down a little bit because we don't know what Apple's plans are for the entire facility. So who knows? Maybe there will be some good news in the next few months. So we'll see. Stay tuned for that discussion. That's coming up next on The Impromptu.
Well, specifically, we can talk about how a bunch of tech companies have banned the Nazis and what that could mean for net neutrality.
That sounds good to me, actually.
I think it's too touchy right now, especially with a bunch of them about to be rallying here tomorrow.
Oh, we're having a rally?
They are, and we're having a counter-protest.
I was not aware of this.
Yeah, there's a group called the, I think it's like Canadians Against Islamic something. I don't know. Some racist bullshit. So they were going to have a rally, and now over 4,000 people are going to be showing up at City Hall to protest them. So they will find themselves vastly outnumbered.
Oh, yeah. But they do have a right to, as citizens, I mean, people have a right to protest peacefully.
Of course.
I mean, within the confines reason. Of the law.
Yeah.
But it is your right to assemble and protest.
Unless that protest crosses into hate speech, which...
See, yeah, I don't know about the laws in Canada. Like, do we have laws against that?
We do, yes.
So there is a line. Like,
there is a line.
You can't just go and say, I love Hitler, start talking about Nazi propaganda in the middle of the street.
We don't have a law about that. So the only countries in the world that are very strict about Nazi propaganda are Germany and France. In fact... We talk about Twitter banning the Nazis. They've already done that in Germany and France, somehow. In the user object in the API, it actually has a flag called withheld in countries, and it's an array. And if a user has withheld in countries DE and FR, they've been flagged as... a neo-Nazi account. In other words,
yeah,
they probably look for like profile pictures with swastikas, user bios that include Nazi symbolism, that kind of thing.
I see a lot of people pushing back though on Twitter saying, well, now you're censoring. But it is a private platform. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit before, but I mean, it is a private platform.
It is, and so, it's...
And I don't disagree with what they're doing, I mean, but it is to a degree. I mean, they are policing their own platform.
Yeah, and I mean, there is a free speech issue to be discussed there, because right now it's Nazis, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone other than Nazis can agree that Nazis should not be there.
Yeah, and I guess, and if things are, because they have algorithms to remove certain things, but I mean, I guess at some point you have to question whether or not legitimate stuff is getting, or stuff that's in a gray area, is that getting removed? And if so, maybe that's not right.
And not only that, but it is potentially very hazardous to free speech, because you start with Nazis, but what about after that? Do they start blocking accounts that speak out against Twitter? Do they start blocking accounts that speak out against things that Twitter is for? Like, let's say Twitter, they got in with Wall Street and they're making a lot of money and they want to protect that investment. And so they start blocking people that speak ill of Wall Street and of capitalism. That is against pretty much every country's free speech laws.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're a private company and there's no laws about private companies having to abide by those laws, they would be free to remove people from their platform. In fact, we've seen this happen with accounts that have shouted at these Nazi accounts, at these white supremacist accounts. People have said all like barely innocuous things like fuck you or go to hell or you guys are wrong and we'll defeat you, things like that. Like nothing that in my opinion really crosses a line, but they've actually found themselves suspended by Twitter for going after these accounts that are very clearly in the wrong. So the question at the end of the day is, can we rely on, or should we be relying on private corporations to be the moral arbiters? And I think the answer is no. I think companies on the internet should be made to comply with free speech laws. And at the same time, I think more countries should follow the lead of Germany and France and create laws about Nazis and about white supremacy. I think, given the history in the States, that would be an appropriate move. Because there's just
if it wasn't before, absolutely. It certainly there is a precedent now to do it with all the stuff that's been going on.
There is a very real threat there, and it's a threat that Germany understood very well at the end of the war. And it's that if you allow these ideas an inch, we run the risk of repeating the same mistakes that we did in 1935.
See, isn't that always, and I have to admit, I'm one of those people too, that's always believed that there's no way the events of World War II could ever be repeated. Maybe not in that exact way, but I'm starting to question it, though, with the current administration in the United States and all the stuff that's going, like, could we, like, remember the public voted for Hitler?
Yeah, he was democratically
elected.
Nobody
voted for that guy thinking this guy was going to create concentration camps and exterminate millions of people.
No.
Nobody votes based on that. No. All of that came much, much later.
Yes.
And it escalated, you know,
slowly
over time. And so people didn't really see it. Could that happen again? I think it could happen.
It's entirely possible, which is why everybody has to be extra vigilant about all of this.
I mean, I think if it were to happen again, I think it wouldn't be... I think certainly there would be things that would be different, but it's something to think about, and it's a scary time, kind of a scary time, especially what's going on in, and this is somewhat related, but in the last couple of weeks, you know, these ongoing, and North Korea has been threatening this for years, but North Korea's missile technology, their intercontinental missile technology has developed and advanced really quickly. And Trump's response, this, you know, fire and brimstone, I've got the my finger on the nukes, we've got them locked and loaded, you know, that kind of rhetoric is really scary. And if people in the US are not scared of that, I don't know what it's going to take, but that really worries me. Now, I get what he's trying to do, he's trying to scare them into submission. I don't think that would ever work with that country.
No,
because they don't. North Korea doesn't even respect UN laws.
Yeah,
they just do whatever they want. They throw missiles, and launch missiles into the ocean like with a bandit.
Right, and the thing is, John Oliver actually had a really good piece on this this weekend, and he went over North Korea and what's going on in there, and it's like Kim Jong-un, he is a dictator and he fears losing his power. And the entire narrative of North Korea is that America is this big, giant enemy that has to be destroyed because they're awful. And like, he showed this video of this museum that they have about the Korean War, and they have this propaganda story about how this woman was basically torn apart and eaten by American soldiers. Like, that's the kind of thing we're dealing with. There's this myth story narrative in North Korea that America is this demonic force that wants to destroy them. And so he is essentially forced to go down this path of saber rattling at the States constantly to solidify his power base, because that's what's expected of him. The thing is, there is no military solution with North Korea. The minute something starts, they have the world's largest concentration of artillery just north of the DMZ. And all of those cannons can hit Seoul. Millions of people could die in the first hour of combat because they will not hesitate to bombard the city with those cannons. So even if you nuked Pyongyang and took out the leadership, there would still be all of those soldiers with all of those cannons ready and willing to die for the cause. And it wouldn't matter. They would just open fire. So
yeah, I mean, any way you look at it, the damage is done.
Yeah. So I
mean, you're still going to have loss of life.
And then the aftermath, Seoul is probably in ruins. A lot of casualties in South Korea, a lot of casualties in North Korea. And then the work begins of dealing with the people of North Korea, which many people have estimated would be the largest humanitarian crisis in history. Millions of people starving, millions of people without access to basic infrastructure. Then there's the prison camps in the north of North Korea, where hundreds of thousands of political dissidents are kept.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to liberate those camps. And just, it's staggering. And nobody wants that to happen. Nobody involved. China doesn't want it to happen because then North Korean refugees would flood the border. And at the same time, you would end up with a unified Korea at their doorstep with American military bases in South Korea. So with a unified Korea, you would have U.S. military right on China's doorstep. And they don't want that.
No.
South Korea doesn't want it because they know those artillery guns are there and Seoul would be smashed apart. Like, there is nobody that wants this to actually happen. So,
you know what's strange to me is that North Korea, for all the propaganda that they have about how, at least what they try to, the picture that they try to paint of the United States within all their propaganda is so completely, like, that opinion of the United States is seems different than the opinion that their leader has, because like you see these pictures of Kim Jong-un and he's like, first of all, I think he's obsessed with basketball or something. So like there are things about America that he enjoys.
Oh yeah.
So well, then it seems kind of hypocritical.
Of course it is. He's a dictator. He was educated in Europe. Like, he knows what the deal is in the rest of the world. His people don't. because they don't leave and they have no access to
information. It's just about control, really.
Exactly.
I mean, they may not even really, he may not even really believe all of that propaganda.
No, of course he doesn't. That, I mean, he creates half of it.
I mean, he is the son of Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
I mean, but all this stuff was started years ago, years and years and years
ago. Yeah, with I mean, it's not Kim Jong-il's invention. Father, it's Kim Il's son.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're just passing the torch, but God, it's got to be weird living there.
Yeah.
But we're affected here in Canada too by all this stuff. That's why I'm bringing this up, because it does scare me when I hear this rhetoric.
Yeah.
From this aggressive rhetoric from Trump, and it's just a weird time, man. Like, I honestly, things just seem so, like, we, you know, there are always problems in the world, but things even 15, 20 years ago just didn't seem as intense as they are now.
Yeah, I mean, up until now, we've enjoyed the longest period of quote-unquote world peace ever. And with Russia on the warpath, the whole thing in Ukraine that nobody is talking about now, North Korea getting more aggressive, building their weapons program, Trump, like all of these things, it just seems like the world is on the brink of chaos again. And yeah, that's terrifying, because all we've known, like the entire time I've been alive, the world has been relatively okay.
Yeah.
And suddenly it seems like it's not going to be.
Can't someone just drop like an EMP bomb and completely just take down every single missile, nuke, warhead that they have?
No.
Because it doesn't really work like in the movies.
Well, I mean, it doesn't. But the problem is North Korea, all of their stuff is old. So there's like almost no electronics in any of it.
But my understanding was that their technology was really advanced now in their missiles.
The missiles, yes. But again, the problem is the artillery cannons. Even if you take out the missiles, like even if you take out their nuclear capability, they
probably have a stockpile of older equipment.
They still have the artillery cannons.
Right.
They still have the largest standing army in the world. Right.
But well, nothing at least, but nothing old enough that could ever reach the United States or Canada, though.
No, of course not. But
they could do damage to, and like South Korea, they could launch
to South Korea
missiles into South Korea.
Yes.
So yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. So no matter what happens, South Korea is going to have a bad time. Like you can't take out all of those cannons and the missiles and the leadership in one go. Like you'd need some kind of magic weapon of some kind. Like you'd need fucking space cannons or something. Mm-hmm. Just lay down a beam that destroys all the cannons, and then another one that destroys all the missiles, and then another one that takes out the presidential palace or whatever. Like, and even then, there's no guarantee that you'd actually get Kim Jong-un, because they move him around all the time.
Well, he probably has a bunker somewhere. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Fortified in the mountains.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantee that you'd get him.
Right.
And, like, there's just too many things to worry about in that situation where, even with unlimited resources, it would be very difficult to achieve a positive outcome.
Yeah. Boy, this was a happy topic.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
So what's going on with Apple?
So in un-terrifying news...
groan.
There was another drone flyover of Apple Park the other day, and it looks like they are focusing on a particular building to finish. And that building is Steve Jobs Theater. There is now a road leading directly from the theater to the rest of the facility.
It sounds nice.
Yeah. And the exterior is finished.
Mm-hmm.
The landscaping is done around it.
It seems like this has been in progress for 20 years, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, it's such an ambitious project.
Yeah, it is.
Do we even know, like, capital-wise, what this is costing them? I mean, probably hundreds of millions. I don't even want to know, almost.
They've probably spent billions on it at this point.
I mean, they really are not... It's like... I mean, they effectively have a bottomless pit. There is probably no price limit on what they can spend on that thing.
This is their new headquarters.
Right.
This is Apple for the next 20 or 30 years.
And they're building Zion underneath, right, to continue the human race.
Right, yes.
When the nukes fly, the Apple employees will carry on.
The secret aluminum bunker.
And the Android users will be gone.
Yeah.
Because they weren't...
They didn't get the push notification. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The battery died.
So Steve Jobs Theater is being focused on. And my assumption there is that the iPhone reveal will be at Steve Jobs Theater, marking the inaugural event at Apple Park. I think it makes a lot of sense symbolically. Yeah. To show this new iPhone design in the new Apple campus.
Mm. Actually, I was going to ask you about
that. 10th anniversary of the iPhone. Like, it's just this.
So they will do, I guess they'll just, there's no reason to do Apple events anywhere else but there. I mean, they're going to make the media come there.
Yeah. Well, because the thing is, they are literally designing that space for their events.
Right.
They are creating a custom space where they are able to present exactly the way they want to be able to present things.
They had a small theater. Was it at the old Apple headquarters where sometimes they would do events?
They did,
from that
yes.
small little theater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They unveiled the 4S there because
that was at their office in Cupertino, right?
They unveiled the 4S there because they thought maybe Steve would be able to show up, but of course he passed away the next day. Yeah, they've had several smaller events there. I think the last one was actually to talk about Apple Park, and they said basically this is the last event from here.
I'm sure there's going to be some sentimental value to that old building, like moving out of that into this new one. I'm sure the people that have been there for the last 20 years will probably miss it.
Yeah,
especially just because of the memories of, like, well. You know, as they walk out the doors, they're going to look back and say, wow, you know, like, Steve was here at the best times. He rebuilt Apple in this space.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, that
we're
building...
we're saying goodbye to it.
Well, they're not really saying goodbye. That building is still going to be Apple property.
So they're not actually...
No, they're not selling it or getting rid of it. There will still
I was
be,
under the assumption no, that would happen.
There will still be employees there. I believe the plan is to move most of them to Apple Park, but they will then hire more people, and there will be people that work out of that building as well.
There were complaints from people on Twitter saying that, and maybe this is being added and they haven't announced it, but a lot of people seem to be upset that they're not adding daycare and facilities like that for families, which does make sense.
Yeah.
It, I mean, if you're going to be spending a lot of your time there, it does make sense.
Yeah, I have a feeling...
Come on, they've got the space for it. I mean...
Yeah, exactly. I have a feeling that it might
Nobody thought of this?
Well, we don't know that. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's something...
We know there's a large fitness center. We know there's the R&D building. They are, however, building a lot of smaller buildings inside the ring. So one of those could possibly be a daycare facility. Or they could just build one somewhere on the grounds if they were pressured and made to realize that, yes, you should actually have one of those. Like, there's no reason they couldn't. So hopefully either they have already planned on building one, are building one, or can be pressured into building one. Because, they have a ridiculous amount of space on that land. So they could easily provide access to daycare there.
I would be surprised if there wasn't anything like that because, like you're saying, I mean, Apple's not, you know, sharing every piece of the development progress with us. I mean, we don't know what kind of rooms are there that maybe they planned for this, but it just hasn't. Like, once this thing is ready, I mean, we'll know a lot more.
Yeah,
basically, like, I think people should just chill out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally not finished yet. That's the thing. Like, a lot of it is, but they are still continuing to add finishing touches. They are still finishing off some of these buildings. The ring itself is still being furnished and equipment installed, door card readers, that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, let's wait until, I mean, maybe not. If there is somebody that knows for certain one way or the other, like, yeah, act on that information. But from the outside looking in, it's just too early to tell if they are building one or are not building one. I would hope that they are, but I mean, given the general attitude in the Valley, and I mean, Apple isn't immune to this either, it's entirely possible that they simply omitted it.
Have they given an ETA when this thing's actually going to be done?
They're hoping to move employees in by the end of the year.
Okay, so it's coming.
Yeah. So it's very nearly done. And yeah, I am pretty confident that the iPhone event will be at Steve Jobs Theater. It only holds 1,000 people. So it's not going to allow for like total blowout events like WWDC, but they'll definitely be able to have big announcement events there with a large number of press. My guess would be that they've also built a dedicated demo room adjacent to the theater in the underground portion so that they'll be able to have hands-on, because they always have that. So I mean, if you were building a theater to announce Apple products, you would totally have a demo room next to it. And of course, the roof of the theater is a massive carbon fiber disc held up by giant glass panels. It's like the most ridiculous structure. And there's this like winding staircase that goes down. Obviously, we have no idea what the interior looks like, but I'm pretty sure we'll find out very soon.
It sounds over-engineered, which is not unlike a lot of Apple products.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point. I mean, they're basically building a cathedral, if you will, to their events. Like, this space is where they will reveal massive updates to their existing products and new products yet to be announced in the future.
And if you're going to build a, like, if you have the capital and the ability to fully design / engineer a facility that you're going to be spending most of your time in.
Yeah.
You want to do it right. And
exactly.
They're probably thinking, you know, look, we need to build this so that it's exquisite and that it 100 years from now, it'll still look good. It has to have a kind of a timeless, you have to be careful about design with architecture because it can quickly become dated.
Yeah.
As we've seen in many time periods, you look at a lot of buildings from the 80s with neon lights and geometric shapes everywhere and like stuff that kitschy can become real dated real quick.
Oh yeah. I honestly think the design of Apple Park is truly timeless. It's modern, but it's the kind of modern that sort of tries to blend in with nature. It's this geometric form. You've got the seamless glass. It tries to have a very negative carbon footprint. You've got all the solar panels. Those are going to provide, I think, up to 80% of the entire facility's power.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's impressive.
On a sunny day. And
I don't think anybody else is doing anything like that.
No. It's going to be the only facility like that in the world.
And of course, Apple's own server farms that draw a lot of energy from solar power.
Yes, they do.
Who else is doing that on that scale?
Maybe
Amazon. I don't know though.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their power is like. I think Google might and Microsoft might, but Apple is the only one that we know for sure is powering their data centers with solar and wind. A few of them are powered by wind partially. And the one in Ireland, I think, was planned to use geothermal partially. But that one is still a pipe dream at this point due to the lengthy regulatory process. So, yeah, I mean, they're designing the space exactly as somewhere they're going to be spending a lot of time. And it's kind of like, if you could start from scratch and build the perfect building for your company, what would you build? Like, it's that kind of thing. And yeah, obviously,
I would be excited to work on a project like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, that gives you the opportunity to correct all the mistakes that so many people make.
Yeah.
When build, because, you know, like buildings like the one we're in now, they're not designed for like technology, like modern technology, really. Yeah. I mean, we have old wiring in the walls. All the wiring is all, it's all Cat 3. It's slow as hell.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you build a new building, you build it with Cat 6. You know, you want gigabit in the walls, like stuff like that, you know, yeah, you got to think about, right? Plan for the future.
Yeah. And you want it as modular as possible.
Absolutely.
So that you can upgrade it in the future.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they've built all of it with that in mind. And I've read a few interviews with Johnny Ive where he's just like gushing about things like designing the faucets in the bathrooms and like all these little details that they're just adding to every single facet of the building, which actually brings me to kind of a downer on the design of the building. Most of the office space is open plan.
So tell me why that annoys a lot of people.
Well,
because I'm not a fan of cubicles.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Open plan kind of became this thing after people just grew tired of cubicles. But then, paradoxically, once open plan started becoming this massive thing, people wanted to run back to the cubicles because...
No privacy.
The problem with open plan is you have no privacy. You can hear everything going on around you. So inevitably, people end up getting large noise-canceling headphones... But just to be able to focus.
The privacy thing always seems to come up, and that's where I actually push back on. What is so private that you can't have a conversation at your office, in your office, about this? Like, a lot of companies have, which I actually fully respect, a policy of like open door. You know what? It was, I know exactly who said this, and I'll just paraphrase, but Jason Calacanis, pretty well-known entrepreneur, started many companies. Mm. He said that he like has an open door policy. I think that he may have even had one of the companies he had, they didn't even have doors on any of the offices. Mm. Because they don't, like, what is so private that you can't possibly share it with people?
Oh, like privacy, I'm not even concerned about that. Like, you're in a workplace.
The noise thing, I mean, if you have a sales team, yes, that could be difficult when you're trying to talk to a customer and you got somebody else you can hear.
Yeah, and if you're developing and you're trying to focus on solving a problem and a bunch of people are chattering, that makes you just instantly lose your focus and you forget all about the problem you were trying to solve. And it can take you upwards of 20 or 30 minutes just to get back into what you were doing.
But is everything open at this new... I find it hard
supposedly
to believe that
that
even their sales team, they don't have level of...
I don't know about the sales team, but for the developer offices, it is completely open plan.
You know, it seems like this is a very polarizing thing, which seems kind of silly. I mean, there are so many bigger problems in the world right now, but we had this issue at a company I worked at once where we were considering moving offices because our lease was up, and we looked at some collaborative workspaces, you know, where it's a shared working space and there are no offices. I mean, you have a meeting room you can book, but for the most part, it's like, and developers too were like very split down the middle. Some people like thought, oh, well, I hate cubicles, but there are quite a few that don't like that design, and they want to have some level of quiet and to be able to focus and concentrate on what they're programming, which I understand. It's a valid reason not
so
to want that.
Right now, there's like a lot of pushback. Like, apparently, internally, people are pushing back against this design.
It's not going to be hard to install some baffles there.
No,
between
the
doubt. I mean, it'll look ugly. No, but the app, Johnny Ive won't like it, but...
Yeah. It's inevitable. Like, it's just going to happen because, nobody wants this pristine open space. They want quiet. So, sorry, Johnny. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Apple Park evolves once it's done. Like, things they add on, things they change. It's one of the only truly new company facilities. Obviously, the other companies are working on their own brand new campuses. Facebook, for example, they are designing a massive new campus with Frank Gehry, who's designed a number of incredible spaces. In fact, the Facebook campus is going to be like a miniature city. They are actually going to be building apartment buildings and a grocery store and I think even a school. Or maybe that was Google. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. But yeah, like they're basically working on creating these massive parcels of land. So, I mean, Apple's not alone, but they will be the first. And it'll be interesting to see how these mega projects evolve over time if they actually help the employees at these companies or become a massive hindrance because they're not actually designed for the enjoyment of the workers. They're designed for some productivity metric that the companies think will work, but it actually drives people insane. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out over the coming years. But certainly as an architectural fixture, these buildings and these land designs will be very interesting.
And when Apple Park is ready, we'll be moving the Hologram Radio podcast studios into that space. Right, Michael? I'm just reading the email here from Tim Cook. He said, come on down.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that'll be exciting. We'll just be in a secret room next to the theater so that we can just spy on all the dress rehearsals and I can just be like, I was right, I knew it, the entire time.
Dibs on iPhone 8.
Yeah.
You want to end there?
Yeah, that's good.
You've been listening to the Impromptu One Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here, the single best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate today. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And do leave us a review if you have a moment that makes us feel good, as well as helps other people find the podcast. We're also available in Google Play Music, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well if you'd like to stream it there, and wherever else you can find podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, you can email us at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org, and that will go to both myself and Michael.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.